Hey everyone, this is Stelly FD.
And this is Heaton Shaw. And today on the Startup Chat, we're going to talk about affiliate marketing and referral marketing.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life. And hopefully, while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
And we want you to do your best.
And really dig into that topic in sort of a rapid fire discussion about it. The main reason we're talking about it is because everybody that listens to this podcast, I shouldn't say everybody, but many folks really love it when we talk about customer acquisition. And this is one of the key customer acquisition strategies today is affiliate marketing, referral marketing, invite a friend, all this whole category. And really what it's all about is getting your existing customers, prospects, users to refer other people to the product on a very sort of high level. And there's a lot of different ways to do it. And between Stelly and I, we have sort of different experiences and strategies there. So we wanted to rapid fire kind of talk about this.
Yeah. And you know, I think that I'm going to have a bit more to share on like from a sales referral point of view, especially when you have larger customers, how to get really big referrals, really high value referrals.
Cool.
But I was curious, have you set up for your SaaS products? Have you done a lot of like experiments around setting up affiliate marketing programs, like the stuff for people that purchase your product, very low touch. You're not talking to these people. You're not calling these people necessarily. They're just using your product every single month, and then you do something in some kind of an automated fashion to incentivize them that if they share your product with other people they know, and these people buy, they get something in return, either a month free or a discount or something like that. Have you played with this? Have you seen success with this for any of your products?
Yeah, we tried this early on at Crazy Egg and we actually failed. And the reason is and I can tell you the reasons. All these programs, especially when you're making users do it or they're incentivized to do it, you have to keep optimizing it and make it work. So when we initially did it many years ago, I kind of want to say like 10 years ago, it really didn't work. What we did offshoot out of that is we actually have a pretty strong partner program where if anyone signs up, which is very related to this, but anyone signs up that's a user of another product, they get a special offer like a longer trial or some discount on our product. And we've been successfully doing that with Crazy Egg for many years. It is not going to share exactly what percentage of revenue right now, but because I don't know, but it is somewhere in the double digits in terms of the percentage of signups and revenue that we get, which is this idea that like, let's say they use another product that's not competitive to us. We're offering a partner program sort of deal where that company's promoting us, we're promoting them, and there's sort of an equal exchange there with our lists and stuff like that. So that is one thing that is very related to this that we offshooted from having a referral program. More lately, there's a bunch of companies I've worked with as well as, you know, we'll be launching some of these things in my companies as well over time on working on a referral program and how to do that right. You would be surprised at how effective these things are today. One reason I would say that is your Uber and your Lyft and, you know, Postmates and all these sites and apps, they all have referral programs. They all have invite a friend, make some money sort of deal. And so consumers are getting used to it. B2B customers, as a result, are also used to it because they are also consumers. And so I actually would advise most SaaS companies at some stage when they have enough of their own users and customers, maybe, you know, after they have 1,000+ customers or maybe even more, depending on, you know, scale, this all matters and could be different metrics. But once they're in the hundreds to thousands of customers, it is definitely one of the key channels that if you're willing to invest in it, to optimize it, change the messaging, look at the conversion rates and all that, it can be one of your primary drivers of new users.
Yeah, so that's interesting. So I think one of the key messages there is that the partner thing is interesting. There could be a whole other episode on how to do successful partnerships. But kind of referral side of things, it's interesting that consumers have been more used to it and more exposed to it because of some very successful products that a lot of people are using frequently. And once you get to that kind of a consumer acceptance and adoption of a certain type of
behavior, I guess,
it moves over to more other areas of how they use software, and B2B is one of them. So that's super interesting and makes a ton of sense. The other thing that I would say is that the second part, which is I think at the kernel part of a lot of the advice that we give, is that, you know, if you do it, just be committed to investing into this type of thing in a period of time, iterating it, thinking about a version 1, but then realizing that you're going to have a version 2 and version 3. might be your messaging. It might be, you know, the incentive you give might work right off the bat or it might not, but it doesn't mean that the referral program doesn't work. It just means that you might have to invest, you know, three to six months in tweaking and working into it until you can really reasonably assume that you'll figure it out. It's not just like all referral programs work the same, so you launch it and either it works or it doesn't. It might have to do a lot of tweaking, which is what you have to do with almost everything in life, especially
pretty
in business,
much, yeah.
Right? The other thing, you know, interestingly enough, I didn't even realize this before we started talking about it, but I just realized that recently we had a discussion internally, and you know, we've always been doing referrals on the sales side of things, and I'll talk a little bit about my system there because it's served me really well. But we've never done anything on the we never productized referral marketing, right? We've done referral sales, but never referral marketing as part of like the especially for the users that our sales team isn't touching and isn't spending time with, or our success team. And we just recently reopened that discussion because we do see a very large chunk of our new trials coming in from word of mouth. And kind of we reintroduced the discussion just recently on the team that we probably need to start investing in this. So this is very timely for us as well. I just did a little bit of research this morning and I saw that there's a lot more tools out there, which is also not surprising in the SaaS world, right? But there's a bunch more companies out there that offer this type of thing productized for your company, so you don't have to build it from scratch. But in general, if you start with a version one, what would you do? Would you do customer development, talk to your customers, figure out what kind of an offer would be compelling to them, and then, you know, test it out in a very lightweight way before you fully productize it? Are there things that you've seen work better than others, like discounts work better than, you know, an added free month of the year or a free upgrade of the plan? Or does it all depend on your customer vertical and your product?
It actually all depends on your unit economics and like what your current customer acquisition cost is with your current channels and what your lifetime value is. This applies to every industry, consumer, B2B, or anything. If you don't have a good handle on that, you could either be giving up too much or not giving enough to incentivize people because you don't know where your limit is. And that's why I don't really recommend the strategy super early unless you're really savvy about what you think a reasonable customer acquisition cost is for your business and what LTV is. So I see a lot of people get this wrong, you know, because really these referral programs are supposed to be one of your cheapest channels, regardless of what you give away, right? So if that's true, then you have to know what customer acquisition cost looks like, or at least what your rough lifetime value looks like if you're kind of early on, and sort of start predicting that based on your monthly churn or some kind of benchmarks from your industry, even though I don't really like benchmarks a lot. You need some kind of guess at, okay, our lifetime value is, let's say, $600. So we can spend up to, you know, and our margin is high because it's a SaaS business, so let's not worry about that. So then we can spend up to, you know, I don't know, $200 to acquire a customer, 100 or 50 or whatever. And obviously, you want to get that customer acquisition cost as low as possible always. But this is kind of a way to really think about it and figure out kind of where you start. After that, you know, all your offer stuff, that's what you test. You figure out whether it's give them $100 credit or give them 2 months free or give them an extra longer trial period or whatever is what's right for you. But you need a basis of cost. Otherwise, you can really get into a lot of trouble.
I love it. That makes a ton of sense. I'll share a little bit about like my experience with referrals and how to do it. And I kind of put together a system over the years. So when I first started in my first business, and I did sales kind of one-on-one with the customer in person, I realized that one of the biggest challenges that most other people had in this industry was that they constantly were running out of prospects, right? So they had to constantly either do a lot of cold calls or a lot of just high volume, very low quality work. And they always had these, like, you know, months of, like, these high highs and low lows. A month where they had this really amazing prospect and they closed this massive deal. And then the next drought, right? The 2 months where they were, like, struggling and nothing was working. And I think I fairly quickly realized that model sucks. And I started realizing that, okay, you know, if I sell to somebody and they're happy, why don't I just get really good recommendations from them? And I realized that most salespeople wouldn't ask for referrals or would do it in a very kind of half-assed way because, you know, the moment you close the deal, it's kind of a very endorphin-inducing, exciting. It's a big win. You're excited. The customer just said yes, handshake, whatever, they wrote the check, whatever it was. And most salespeople, they don't want to ruin that moment by asking for something more. right? Or when they do it in such a half-assed way because they don't want to get rejection, because they just work so hard to get a yes. They don't want to get a no right after that. So a lot of times people would close a deal and then would go, you know, in a very weak way and ask the customer, you know what? If you ever think of anybody that you could recommend us to, we always appreciate that, right? Just very kind of wishy-washy, hey, we'd appreciate if you do this on your own time and on your own motivation. And the customer would always go, yeah, of course, and then forget about it instantly. What I started doing and what worked incredibly well for me, and I've taught this to many people and it worked really well for them, this is one of the kind of most underutilized engines for growth in sales, is that I would actually, you know, in some cases I would tell people they cannot buy from me if they won't give me referrals if they're a happy customer. So I would tell them, listen, I spend all my time servicing my customers, making sure that I'm an expert, making sure I give you the best recommendations. But that only works because my happy customers refer me to other happy customers. That's the deal I make in my business. And if that's something you're not happy with or you're not comfortable with, I'm cool. But then we won't be able to do business together. If you are fine with this, then let's shake hands and agree that, you know, if you buy from me and if you're happy with that, that you're going to give me referrals. And that allows me to focus on servicing you versus focusing all my time on acquiring other customers. Nobody ever told me, no, I want you to spend all your time doing marketing, PR, and sales and not servicing me. Everybody I ever made this pitch to agreed to that. But then when the deal closed and we got the handshake, I would remind them, hey, we'd originally agreed and this is the moment. All I want, I don't want tons of names. All I want to begin with is your best recommendation. Just one person you know, you highly respect, that you think should be aware that this solution or this product exists and that I exist and they should chat with me. And here's the kicker. 9 out of 10 people, when you ask them the first time, they will tell you they don't know. They will go, I need to think about this. I'm not sure. And here's the uncomfortable part. I've realized that if you let them off the hook too early at that point, you'll never get a referral. But if you push and nudge them just one more time, just a little bit, you'll get something. So, you know, if I asked 10 people and 9 told me, Stelly, yeah, I remember, but I need to think about this. If I pushed them one more time and went, you know, I get it. And over the years, hopefully you'll think about this a lot and you'll give me lots of referrals. But just to start us off, just one person you like in this industry, one person you like, let's just think of one name right now. Let's just take a few minutes and come up with a name. If I nudged people just one more time, out of those 9 people, 5 or 6 would give me a name, right? The other ones might still push back and go, dude, back off, or I need to think about this, or whatever their reaction would be. And then I would leave them alone, right? But just by nudging them one more time, I would get a name. And here's the kicker. Here's the thing what makes this into a system. If I got a referral and that referral turned into a customer, I would always make them close the feedback loop. What I mean by that is that the moment that that referred prospect turned into a customer, I would ask them, hey, who do we have to thank for this deal happening? And they'd always look at me and go, you? I'm like, no. Who put us in touch in the first place? And they'd always go, Bob. Exactly. Can you do me a favor and write Bob a quick thank you note? And I'll do the same. So he knows we appreciated this connection and it actually turned into something fruitful. And that closing that feedback loop would make, you know, the moment Bob receives those thank you emails from both of us, what does Bob do? He thinks of, who else do I know that I need to put in touch with Stelly? And that made it into a system that really generated consistent, new, very high quality referrals. This is not thousands of people, but every single one, like most of them would close and there would be really good, really big deals for me. That's kind of the system that I've cultivated over the years and taught to many people. And if in the early days when you do one-on-one sales as a founder, I would highly recommend really pushing for referrals. And even down the line, if you have a sales force that sells to kind of larger deals, I would make a real investment and effort to make referrals part of the sales process.
Honestly, like, I don't understand why people don't do it that way. And like, it's amazing. Like, that was amazing. Like, you just gave people the formula and the secret away, in my opinion. This is the secret to sales referrals. And yeah, it's pure gold. If your company's doing sales, I don't see why you wouldn't do it the way you suggested. Especially if you believe in your product. Don't do sales if you don't believe in your product. And you know what value it can drive.
Yeah, I think that people are just like, the main reason I've identified that people don't do this is that they ask for the referral and they get a little pushback and they instantly fold because as I said, they just closed the deal and they don't want to sour the relationship. They're afraid of, they just, people are just so happy about the close that they don't want to risk any negativity around it. So they just, they're very weak in the way they ask for referrals. But if you can get over that, and if you put that system in place, it's super powerful. And it just takes some discipline and a little bit of guts to do that, right? All right. Anything else? Let's wrap this episode up. We've done a little bit on the marketing side, a little bit on the sales side. Any tip we want to add on terms of how to do referral sales and referral marketing well for people?
No, this is great. It's got to end on what you said because everyone just needs to do it that way. And I'm surprised you gave it away.
All right. There you go. Well, here's something we'll ask you in return for. If you listen to us and you went, oh, holy shit, I'm going to do this. This is going to change everything. Number one, keep us in the fucking loop. Let us know if you do it. Let us know how well it worked. We love to hear from you. And then number two, go to iTunes right now. Give us a rating. Give us a review. And how about referring this podcast to one person you know and you like that's doing a startup or is involved in startups that you think would benefit from knowing that we exist? How about that?
Yeah, how about that? Go for it.
All right. Thank you so much, guys. We'll hear you very soon.
Bye.